Om Shanti. In this morning's Murali, Baba talked about the effort and the reward, the status. Baba very clearly just answered by saying, it is definitely the effort which comes first, and then only you can receive the reward. It is very clearly stated. But in spite of that, we have a topic this evening, what comes first, the effort or the reward? And just few weeks ago, we had a lovely chit-chat with Dadi Janki, just few of us, and Dadi was just sharing that in the early days, so many souls came together, they surrendered on the same day in front of Sakar Baba, and they left their families, their home, they left everything just for Baba. But in spite of that, if you see the outcome today, definitely everyone is number wise. And she was just sharing her own experience that a sister came with her, and there's a lot of difference between the two souls. Of course, every soul is different, but the result of the efforts. And so really, in Sangam Yuga, in confluence age, we all meet Baba. Baba comes to our life. We recognize Baba. And as Baba have mentioned this so many times in the Murali, I give everything equal. I give the same study, the same love. Everybody is sitting in the same class, the same Murali. In spite of all that, there is status, number wise. And that's when the question is, what comes first? And Dadi defined it very beautifully. That of course efforts is definitely first. We have to make efforts. But it still depends on an individual soul, what you feel. And you need to look into yourself and see what is working through me, what is working for me. And I personally was looking at myself, my Brahmin life. But just before I go into that, a lot of people have a question mark on their face. Who am I? Isn't it? And it keeps on, you know, where is this sister from and who is she? And just very quick introduction for those who do not know me. This body, physical body's name is Pratibha, and Lokik birth in Africa, in Zambia. And spiritual birth also in Zambia. Ever since service in Africa started, that is 32 years ago. So I came to Baba 32 years ago when I was at school. I was having my Lokik studies. And the Lokik family became the instrument to start service in Africa. So the sisters first came to our house and they started the service. And that's how the center started, and I was introduced to Baba. But not because it started at home that I became Baba's. And not because I was forced by the parents, and not because I did it just in colored in the company. But I personally feel, that's what I was trying to say, that my status is making me make efforts. You know, it's reversed the other way around. I've always felt that. I never felt that I am making efforts. Because of course, we're going to define efforts also. But it's also reverse, you know, the other way around. That I already have that status. And that is telling me you have to reach here. And for that, whatever you need to do, you have to do it. Not that I do not like making efforts. I love making efforts. It's just very natural, extremely natural. But ever since then, ever since outside school, I've been making efforts and growing into this environment, this yajna. And I took my training in India because I was never exposed to India. I couldn't speak the languages, that's Hindi and many other languages. But I took my training with Brahma Baba's Laukik daughter, Dadi Nirmal Shanta. And I was with her in Calcutta. I took my training there and then I was sent in India in different centers to serve. And of course to learn the language also, Hindi, Gujarati. And then 28 years ago I was sent back to Africa, but not to Zambia where I come from, but to Kenya where we were starting new service there. So Sister Vedanti also came from Zambia, I also reached from here and we started service there. And every service field is a humble beginning. Every service field is a humble beginning. And according to the world's situation, it's a struggle, mind you. It is a struggle, it's a challenge. But in spite of all that, I personally have never felt that, never ever felt that. It has always been a pleasure. Can you just imagine in the most troublesome area or struggle, if you feel a pleasure, then that means there's a hidden secret behind it. And so, ever since I came to Baba all these years, I just feel, if I do not want to wake up in the morning for Amrit Vela, my status wakes me up. Pratipa, wake up. You see? And so yes, with a lot of happiness and enthusiasm, I'm going to wake up. You know? If I don't want to go to class, my status tells me, wake up, go to class, you have to. And of course, it's not even have, it becomes very natural. Because I can see, and I've experienced that many, many times. Of course, it's very natural, it's lifestyle, so I am going to wake up and I am going to meditate and I am going to go to class and not miss my class. I know that as a Brahmin. But sometimes I have noticed that even if I don't want to do, there's something which makes me do. And of course, that is my status. And so it's a cycle. If you really see, it's a cycle, because Baba says that drama, you only take it, you know, after something has happened. You know, don't first sit here and say, if it is in drama, I will conduct a class. Or if it is in drama, I will go to class. Of course, it is in drama, so get up. To get up and to go is also in drama. So start doing that. But Baba says drama is a shield. In other words, I use it afterwards. But first I have to make efforts. And so I have to put that in action. And then I get the outcome out of it. But again, it's a cycle as I told you. We did it in the past cycle, in the past kalpa. And I'm doing it now, and I will also do it in the future. And what I've noticed is that in the early days when I was giving courses, when you give a course, the first course of the self, people love it a lot. You know, they start flying towards the end of the course, you know, understanding the self and the qualities and, you know, the real I, who am I? They just start flying. When you talk about God, they also are flying again. They love it, you know, they understand and they recognize the Father, and it's such a simple theory. In bhakti, the theory of God is extremely complicated, and so they love it. They just like it, you know, three worlds and everything. But the moment cycle comes in, you know. They start sort of, you see, getting a little disheartened. And what I noticed was that they stop coming also sometimes, you know, because they feel, oh my God, do I have to go through the same thing every time? Okay, I don't want it. So they stop coming. But that doesn't mean the cycle is going to stop, the drama is going to stop. And I remember I had this brother. He must have gone through a lot of struggle and obstacles in his Laukik life, in his business, I don't know. And he just walked in the center and he comes to me and says, through meditation, do you think I can achieve what I want? And I said, yes, you know. He said, can I better my business? And I said, yes, you know. You can better your lifestyle. So okay, then give me the course. I want the course. This is many years back, 26, 27 years ago. And I knew he was a very, very depressed soul, extremely depression, you know. He must have gone through a lot of problems in life. And so I started giving him the course. You know? And he was enjoying. But the moment the drama came in, and when I said it repeats identically, you see, that means everything what has happened to me is going to repeat identically, you know? And I said, just listen to the whole course and you will understand everything, you know? Because such a delicate, you know, situation. And of course he completed his course. And then I said, you can bring your family if they're interested. And of course the wife was very interested. And the wife had a little baby, just 4 or 5 months old baby. So she used to carry the baby, put the baby in the lap, and then take the course. And the wife was completely opposite. She took the course, you know, she was the most easiest student I've ever come across. You tell her anything and she says yes. Ever ready, ever, ever ready, yes. Everything is just, you know, yes. And then the exam starts, you know. This brother is thinking a lot, extremely a lot, you know. So the wife comes to me and she says, he's creating a lot of problems. I said, what is the problem now? See, he keeps on arguing with me about drama, you know. And I said, okay, don't worry. If you coming in the daytime with the baby, start coming in the morning class, you become strong. So she used to bring the baby in the morning class, make the baby sleep in a corner, and she used to attend the class, and she was becoming very, very strong. And the more she was becoming stronger, this brother was becoming extremely angry with drama. You know? That was the only bit which was disturbing him. You know? And he was creating a lot of problems, but he became an instrument to bring the mother into knowledge and a very, very extended family. Extremely extended family. Laukik family to Baba, you know, in different parts of the world. Can you imagine this one soul became an instrument to bring so many souls to Baba? And then one day he was creating so much obstacles for the mother. She was crying. She said, he's creating a lot of problems for me and my mother-in-law. So I said, tell him to come and see me. And he came. And you know, I have sat with him very politely, very sweetly. I've tried to explain him so much about drama, but it doesn't go into his mind. The only thing he keeps on coming is, what comes first, you know? Am I going to keep on struggling? Is the same drama going to keep on repeating every now and then, every cycle? And so that day when he came, I had to, you know, all these days I was using love all the time. But today I had to use a lot of law. So he just came, we just sat, and I gave him drishti, and I said, okay, brother, now what is your question? And he says, drama. I said, look, this is stopping you. This is stopping you to make efforts and reach your destination. Yeah? Just forget it. Whatever you like, start taking and go ahead. When the correct time comes, you will start understanding and experiencing drama. And she says, no, I just need the proof, you know. And his proof is not what we want to give him. His proof is what he wants, what accommodates him, you know. He wants me to say, okay, whatever has happened in the past will never repeat, which is not true. I can't do that, you see. So then I said, okay, then just leave it. Just don't come. That's it. Now, do you think you would ever do that to a student and say, don't come? You know? And I told him, I said, if you have problems, don't come. Stop coming from tomorrow. And you won't believe, he never ever came back to me with that drama issue. You know? And he's a very, very Pakka Baba's child till today, 26 years. Extremely dedicated family, all of them. Not only them, but many other members of the family, running centers in different parts of the world. An extremely yogi brother, you know. And one day I was joking with him and I said, what happened to you? He says, when you just told me, stop coming, you know, I felt I can never ever stay without this in my life. Never, you know. And so I just let go. The moment I let go, there was an experience in the soul which told me that whatever has happened, it's going to come back to you. But at least better the other, you know, the other bit. So it's very simple explanation which we could, and you know, he would accept. But can you imagine, it had to come from within. And from there I realized that even if you just tell that person off and say, stop coming, that person is going to come because of not my convincing, not the convincing of the knowledge, but the status. The status would not let that soul go away into the laukic world. You understand? And I don't know whether you know the story of Dadi Janki. In the early days, when the mothers used to come for class, when Sakar Baba and all the, you know, Yajna members used to stay in different buildings. And of course it was a very, very, you know, stormy night that day. It was raining heavily and Mamma used to stay with the mothers in the building. And a few mothers used to come from outside for class. And it was a group of beautiful mothers and Mamma used to talk to Baba in the other building over the phone. And she used to praise this group of mothers every day. Baba, we've got a lovely group of mothers and they come every day and they've got a lot of intoxication. And Baba says, child, yes, today when you meet them, just tell them not to come to class from tomorrow, you know. And Mama was a very, very obedient Baba's child, a godly student, and she would not ask Baba why, you know. She said, Haji Baba, okay, you know. She knew they were lovely mothers, but Baba said, tell them not to come from tomorrow. And of course, after class, she announced that, okay, don't come from tomorrow. You know, none of them asked why and all that, and they all left, you know. But next day in the morning, there was only one soul by the doorstep. And that person said, I cannot stay without Baba's Murli in class. Whether you say no, whether Sakar Baba says no, I have to come in. And so Mama had to take permission from Sakar Baba. She called Baba and said, it's heavily raining out there and you know, there's only one mother from the whole group who's come. I told them not to come because you told me, you know, to announce that. And only one mother came and Baba said, child, that's your true student. The others are okay. You see, so Baba just sort of selected, he sort of sieved, you know. And that was Dadi Janki. And so can you imagine, even if Sakar Baba says don't come, but your status is going to bring you to Baba. You see, it's a way of examining. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, any situation, you know. So it's not an effort. It is an effort to stay away from Baba. See? when it is your fortune, when it is your status, when it is your reward, it is very difficult to stay away from Baba's house. It is very difficult to stay away from Murli, Tapasya and the family. Even if you are disturbed with someone, the instrument or the family, but you would even tell yourself, I'm not going to go because I'm very upset. But again, that status from the last kalpa, which has been recorded already, will pull you back. So this is why I say it's a cycle. But we do not need to go into a lot of contemplation and thinking about the past. Otherwise you will start sitting and visualizing what was I in the past. Huh? What was my status? Don't worry about that. Just naturally start, working towards it. And then what happens is that efforts is not going to be like efforts. When I say the word effort is a little bit, strong, isn't it? And then, of course, there's another quality of effort which is called labor. I have to labor. I have to labor to wake up early in the morning. I have to labor to sit in the murli, keep my eyes open, struggling. And I have to labor in, matching my sanskaras with my companions, service companions. I have to labor in everything. And that is something which is actually efforts. But when it's very natural and when it's flowing, when I am just, it's part of me, I mean, if I reverse myself and say, can I visualize myself without Baba? No. But when I first came to Baba, I remember I was telling Sister Vedanti, I want to surrender my life to Baba, but I don't like wearing a sari. And she says, what? I said, yeah, I can't walk with 6 meters around me. And she says, it's okay, don't worry, do what you like, And I said, I don't like this, I don't like that. She says, it's okay, whatever you like, you do, But once you give your life to Baba, and it becomes so natural that I don't even know that I'm wearing this and walking around the world with this for last 29 years now. It's so natural. Nothing has been uncomfortable for me because it's there, it's already there, and it's not an effort, you see. So one is an effort which is with labor. And then you would ask me a question, that means my status is not high, that's why I'm struggling? Now in that, Dadi Janki gave us a very clear understanding. Each and every individual have to check for the self. What comes first? Is it the efforts which takes me to my, destination? Or is it my destination which pulls me, attracts me, towards takes me, travels me? And it depends on an individual. You can check yourself what your Brahmin life is telling you, as I told mine personally, that all these years I've never felt I've made efforts. Of course there's been a lot of challenges, but that has also become pleasure. Now when does it become pleasure? When you see the reward straight away also. So there is one which is a reward which I get now in Sangam Yoga straight away, the fruit, of my effort. And there is another one which is in Golden Age, that is my status. So I will give you an example of a reward, the fruit. I've been on service field for many years, but after a couple of years, Sister Vedanti asked me to go to a new country to start service there. This I'm talking about many years back. And she said, go and start a center in this country. That was Ethiopia, if you're aware of these countries. And that time Ethiopia went through a lot of problems, political and a lot of problems. It was a communist community and all that. But anyway, she did tell me when I was taking leave, if you pass in this, you're going to open a lot of centers in future. If you do not manage to open a center and get disheartened and come back, you will never be able to open a center. And I knew it was Baba's message, you know. So I went with that enthusiasm. I arrived. I was supposed to be hosted by a family. I don't know what happened to them. They changed their mind and they not literally, you know, literally dumped me in a hotel, sort of, you know. They took my bags and they said, you're going to stay here, you know. And I was like, what? It was a very, you know, very low hotel where, of course, us sisters cannot stay there. But that was the only place where I could spend the night sitting, tapasya, because I'm not going to use the room there. And next day in the morning, I was like, you know, ready with my bags. And the other thing is there's always been a consciousness of, you know, less expense and more result. Kam kharch balam nashin. In other words, I want to make less expense in Baba's yagya. So not that, oh, let me go and move into a 5-star hotel and just enjoy and wait for the day when center opens. And let me just, you know, wait for a cab. That's not my sanskara. And so I just, you know, asked one of the neighbors, can you please drop me somewhere where I can get a cheaper hotel, but a nicer one, you know? And of course I got lift and I came to this place where I could get a self-catering, you know, little room. Of course it was an expensive one, but we were sharing with two other sisters, Brahmins. And so, but they were younger to me, so of course I was the inspiration for them. But if I get disheartened, can you imagine what would happen to them? And the weather was not in favor. It was extremely cold, extremely cold. It's 9,000 feet above sea level, so you can imagine how thin the air is. So even if we walk around, you know, we start sort of, you know, it's very difficult to breathe. So all these things were there, but it doesn't matter. We were doing a lot of tapasya and I was looking for a house where I could move into and start a center. And everybody was scaring me. A lot of people who I knew, they said, oh, the government here is horrible. They will throw you in. They'll put you in jail. They'll do this, they'll do that. And one day after another was just increasing. And no food. We can't cook food in a hotel. So whatever little we took, we were just using that. And otherwise it was like on cereal and, you know, dry things. And so that was also the situation. But anyway, four days passed by and I look for, you know, different houses on rent. It was approximately 25 houses I already looked for. You know, 25. And it was very, very expensive. The rent was very high, not furnished, no facility, you know, and everything. But finally, I got this place which was very expensive, empty completely, nothing in the house. I was wondering how I was going to do everything. But anyway, I was just like, okay, Baba, today is Wednesday. I'm getting this house. I will offer bhog on Thursday in Baba's house and all that. When I arrive there, the landlady says, it's gone, sorry, you won't get it. So again, another day of tapasya, and you won't believe, I was like, you know, by Wednesday night, I have to get a place for Baba. The other two sisters were like, you know, they said, we want to go back to Nairobi, we don't want to stay here, you know. And I said, no, don't worry, everything will be fine. And you won't believe, at night, that last night, that was Wednesday night, I was sitting in front of Baba whole night. I didn't let the other two sisters know that I was doing that. I quietly did that. But I was actually crying in front of Baba. And I said, Baba, I don't want to fail. Please, I don't want to fail. You know, you have to do something. But in spite of all that struggle, crying, whatever it is, you know, there was no there was nothing like I was disheartened. There was a lot of hope, a lot of hope. But yes, it was not easy, as I told you. And the sister got sick and I had to take her to the doctor, and I didn't know anybody, I didn't speak the language there, Americ, and a lot of things. Anyway, in spite of all that, Thursday morning, I decided to check out of the hotel. I said, I'm going to check out of the hotel, I'll leave the luggage in the lobby, and I will go and look for the house, and Baba has to do something for me. And you won't believe, I went out with the agent, and this agent said, okay, madam, this is the last chance now. I'm going to show you this house. If you like it, take it. If you don't like it, that's the end of the story. You know? And I was like sitting, you know, in the car waiting. And the first day when I landed in that country, I was very choosy. You know, I said, I only want center in this good area and this type and that type. But now I let go everything. I was not choosy at all. I need a shelter now. I need a place. And you would not believe, this agent is driving me exactly into the area which I first had the choice, the best area, where we have most of the embassies, you know, and then very close to the airport. And then he took us in, and there is a beautiful house, completely furnished, extremely beautifully furnished, and the rent is lower than the other houses, the other 25 houses, and beautiful garden, and a lovely landlord, and what do you need? I knew Baba was the one who kept this place ready for us, but we had to go through this exercise, you know? And I just told the landlord, yes, we're taking it. I'm bringing the money now for 6 months, and we want this. Please don't give it to anyone. I'm going to the bank. And he says, if I give a word, I give a word. I don't give it away to anybody. I said, please don't do that, huh? He says, yeah. I rushed to the bank. I quickly got the money. I signed the document, and that was Baba's house. Very beautiful, extremely. And we quickly made bhog, and we offered bhog, Thursday bhog to Baba. Now, that was the process, you see. And of course, it was efforts. There was nothing less than efforts. In fact, even more than efforts. It was real labor, real struggle. But after all these years, when you see the reward, Baba's children, the one who have taken birth, their local Ethiopian children. I keep on telling them, you know. I said, when a mother is giving birth to a baby, when she goes through a labor, you know, she's got so much pain on one side, physical pain, but I think on the other side, she's got a lot of pleasure. That's what I understand. And there's extreme pleasure to see the baby, the child. And this is what I felt when, you know, Ethiopia was taking birth, you know, Baba's child, Baba's children in Ethiopia. And when you see the family now and the service, and you won't believe, after that we can get big mansions and big houses all over Addis Ababa for center. But I don't know what has happened. That house is not letting us go. It's a small one. We can't even fit Baba's children in the classroom. They're so tiny, you know. So the landlord says, don't worry, you can use the garden bit and build what you want there, a classroom, whatever you want, but please don't leave us and go anywhere in Addis Ababa. And we feel the same, you know. So we've got a huge classroom in the garden. It's like a pyramid, and Baba's children are all studying there, but the house is still very small, but a lot of souls can be accommodated on the floor and wherever, yeah? But service is wonderful. And one day one brother told me, now we're going to build a big center here in Addis Ababa. And I said, then what are we going to do with this center? Oh, this center will always stay. Always stay. It will never go. You see? So sometimes we do go through that struggle. I don't even call that a struggle, but yeah, physically, in the physical world, yeah? But the instant reward which we receive, then only, which we can see now in the confluence age, it's so beautiful, you know? It's just so wonderful. So can you imagine, one is the reward, which is of the effort which I made straight away. And then, of course, my status also, up there, wherever it is, you see. And ever since then, Baba made me the instrument of opening so many centers. But I keep on remembering this experience. And that experience is not sorrowful. It's not sorrowful, but it's full of pleasure and enthusiasm. You know, extreme enthusiasm. I mean, can you imagine if you've not had hot food or one meal with Baba, offered bhog of Baba for one whole week? Can you imagine what happens to a Brahmin, you know? And no organized classroom, nothing. You just read Murali anywhere in the hotel, you know, have tapasya anywhere. And that was the early days. And now, of course, a lot of souls are also going through that in South Africa when we're doing these programs. But in spite of that, the enthusiasm is beautiful. It's so there. So that's why the question this morning, the topic was, what comes first, efforts or reward? You know, and the answer was definitely there. Baba already said it's definitely efforts. But that efforts is again, you know, very natural. So it doesn't look like it's efforts. So this is a beautiful feeling I personally have. Before I carry on, have you got any question or anybody wants to share their little experience before I carry on? You want to, brother? You did this? No. Okay. Anybody? No? Somebody's planning? No? Okay, so I'll carry on then. As I just mentioned about, I mean, you know, when I was just sharing, I already reached there, I transported there. And it's just a beautiful feeling that I wish every Brahmin could experience that also. Because sometimes you see a lot of Brahmins, you know, struggling. And they get disheartened. They come to a stage where they get disheartened and they say, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do tapasya. It's very difficult to make efforts. It's very difficult to do service. And so, when does it become difficult? Any effort or any service, when does it become difficult? And remember, when I am doing it. When I am doing it, when you are doing it. You see, that's when it becomes very, very difficult, isn't it? But the moment, physically maybe you are not surrendered, physically you've got your family, you've got your responsibility, it doesn't matter. But the moment I become Baba's, I surrender. I give everything to Baba. And if I give everything to Baba and say, okay, Baba, you're going to take care of me. You will work through me. You will, you know, make me do the efforts, the service. So one is, if I am doing, then yes, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be very difficult. But the moment I first hand over everything to Baba, and then Baba does it for me, it just is incredible. Another experience I would give you is that, that was also a couple of years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago. I was sent to a new country, and of course I was on a tour of different countries. And that was Mozambique. I don't speak Portuguese, not even a word of Portuguese. Now I speak few words of Portuguese. But in those days, when I first went to Mozambique, not even a single word of Portuguese. And the Hindu community there hosted me because of, you know, vegetarian accommodation and facility. So they hosted me and I worked with the different groups there in Maputo, and service was beautiful. I was traveling from one country to the other to the other. So everything was fixed, my bookings were fixed. And just 2 days left in that country, I was there for about over 2 weeks, and just 2 days left, and I was supposed to fly out, someone calls me and say, "Sister Om Shanti," and I was like, "What?" Because there is no Brahmins. Of course, now we have Baba's house there, but I'm talking about 7 years ago. We had no Brahmins in that country, and I didn't know how this soul came up and said, "Om Shanti," and I said, "Who are you?" This is, "Sister, I took Baba's knowledge in India, and I came to this country 7 years ago, and I was looking for the Brahma Kumaris." You know, in India they would think, Africa, I'm going to Africa, oh, there are many centers there. They don't realize that there's no center in that particular country. And so he says, "I heard that you've come to this country first time and you've had programs. You have to come to my town. It's a tiny little town, but please come to my town." I said, "How far is it from the main city?" And he says, "It's about, 2 hours drive, a bus ride." And I said, "Well, I am leaving in 2 days' time and my bookings are all fixed. I cannot make it." He says, "Please, there's someone who can drive you. But then in return, I will put you on a coach." I said, "Well, okay, I'll come for a night and a program." So they organized the program there. I arrived. And then they shared the story with me for that particular town, Seishai, that when they had extreme floods, this town was completely drowned and everything was gone, the roads, the houses, everything. Now they're bringing up, it's building up slowly. And so it was quite painful to know this. We could have mercy for these souls that they've gone through so bad experience. And so I said, "It's good that I'm going, at least they would feel good." So I arrived there 7 o'clock. We had a program there. Everything was over by 10 o'clock. Next day in the morning, 5 o'clock, I was on the coach. It was a beautiful coach. And the brother, I don't speak a word of Portuguese. So the brother said, "Sister, I'm putting on the coach. You will arrive there in not 2 hours." I was wrong. Sorry, it was 4 hours. "And in 4 hours' time, you will be in Maputo." I said, "Okay." "And they will come and pick you up, the organizers." I said, "Fine." So we just had a ride of, I think, 1.5 hour. I was resting a little bit. And suddenly I hear people screaming and shouting. And I said, "What happened, It's so natural, we speak in English." And nobody could answer. Nobody understood what I was asking. So it was, it was a local bus, So local people on the coach. I was the only foreigner. So I just saw that something went wrong with the bus. And so I went. Everybody was going out, so I went out. What I'm trying to share, how we give everything to Baba, and Baba works for me. And so I just, went down, and I was asking a couple of people what was happening, and nobody understood what I was asking. So I was just standing there. And suddenly, a local Mozambican African lady in her mid-50s, came to me and she started speaking. She was locally dressed, very lovely soul. And I said, "No Portuguese." And she goes, "No Angle." So it was just drishti, And she just walked away. So I thought, maybe there was, I don't know what she was asking anyway. So she just walked away. And then she came back in a couple of minutes. She came with her young son, university student, and at least he could speak broken English, from the university. So he says, "My mom is asking you a question." I said, "What is the question?" And he goes, "Where are you going?" So I said, "I am going to Maputo." "Where in Maputo?" "Oliveira Termines." Say, "Okay." So my mom says, "Stand here." I said, "Okay." So I'll stand there. Then, you see, I see people, you see, it is a war-torn country, 30 years of civil war. They have nothing in that country. So it's not a country where it's organized, one bus is broke down, they will send another one, nothing like that. You know, the public would just organize themselves. So everybody is running for lift, you know. So I thought, okay, let me run with my bag also. And this lady is just holding me. She says, no, stand here, you know, in action. So standing. Then once, you know, the crowd was less and, you know, the chaos was over, she tells the son, ask her which bag, you know. So he asked me which bag. So I said, that one. So okay, stand here. And I stood there with her. Then slowly when the crowd was less, a very broken country bus was just coming by. But it was not overcrowded. A country bus. I was born in Africa, but I've never seen a bus like that, you know. Anyway, so she said, okay, now we're going to go on this bus, you know. I said, okay. So she goes there. She's like an administrator. And she tells one local brother, I mean, you know, one local Mozambican brother, you get up and let her sit. So I just sat down. And the bus was full. Anyway, we started traveling. She was standing there. When she got her place, she sat down. And we were traveling. I could not communicate with this soul. I could not communicate with anybody, you see. But after a while, I didn't see her son. I never saw him. Anyway, so we were just traveling, you know. And then slowly, you know, some drops, something was coming on me. Something was falling, so I thought it's raining. So I started looking around. And there was no rain outside. So I was wondering what was happening. I'm getting wet a little bit and it's smelly. But I didn't know what it was, you know. And of course the brother was there, the son was there. So I asked him, you know, it's not raining out there, what is it then, you know? And he says, you know, this is a country bus. So they make local beer. And they put it in, you know, wooden barrels. And they transport it. And one of them is leaking maybe up there. So all the beer is, you know, coming on us, you know. I said, Baba, in Laukik life I've never even touched beer. But for you I have to do all this, you know. Anyway, it was stinking. So she goes, you get up here. Tell that man to come and sit here and you take his place. I said, oh no, 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 it's okay. You know, I'm fine. Anyway, so after a while I didn't see her son, so he was gone somewhere. And then finally, towards the end of the journey, it was only me and this mother on the bus. Everybody was just getting off where they were supposed to. And she saw these brothers who came to receive me. So they were local brothers, so they spoke all the languages, you see. Local Indian brothers. So she goes to them and she talks and talks and talks, you see. And then, of course, I said, thank you very much, and, you know, bye, and everything, and she left. But after that, these brothers told me that when you got stuck, and you were asking questions to people, nobody could answer you because of language barrier, but she felt you were completely a different person in the midst of the whole crowd, and she was attracted towards you. And she came to you to converse, but she realized you don't speak the language. So she talked to you through her son. But she was not supposed to travel to Maputo, the main city where I was supposed to travel. She and her son had some appointment in the middle of the, you know, journey. So it was a town in the middle. But she told the son to get off, start working, you know, and she traveled all the way to the main city to escort me, bring me into the safe hands. And then she's traveled back. So can you imagine, if it is 200 kilometers, she's traveled back 100 kilometers just to bring me to the right hands. Now tell me, who would ever do that? It's only Baba. Only Baba, you know. And I mean, it's a new country, language barrier, you don't understand anything, you don't know anybody, you've never been there any time, you see. But I mean, not even one single time there's been fear in the self. No, no fear at all. Because whenever you go, like I remember the day I was traveling for this journey, I went to Baba's room and I said, Baba, you know, today I have not come to take leave from you. Because I know I'm going to very new countries and I have never been there. I don't speak the language. I know everything. I don't know anybody there. So I've not come to take leave from you, I told Baba. But we are going together. Let's go. You know, you're also coming with me. You know? So you won't believe I literally took Baba with me. You know? And I, as though Baba was my real companion. You would say, of course, Baba is our companion, but it's like very theoretical, isn't it? But this was like completely practical. Every time I reach in a city, I said, oh, Baba, finally we've reached. And so Baba is with me. And then, when we're supposed to leave from there, let's go, Baba. Okay, now it's time to go ahead. So let's go to the other country now, or the other city now. So, I remember that, you know, we have to experiment. We have to, you know, sort of work with our inner self and make different interesting plans to receive that, you know, confidence that Baba is definitely with me. Baba is with me. But as Baba says, I am with you, but use me. You see, if you don't use me, I'm there waiting. You see? And so I need to use Baba. And so this is what I mean by I am not doing it. But I have given it to Baba and Baba's working through me. And these are the miracles, you know, we've experienced a lot of miracles, a lot of miracles. And so that's when I say you do not get disheartened, you don't get scared, there's no fear, you know, you don't get tired. And those who go through that experience is actually doing everything themselves. And, you know, Baba is always there for us. But if Baba says that this child of mine is very confident and that soul wants to do it him or herself, Baba will let you do it. It doesn't matter, you know, till you maybe realize. And so this is one thing which a lot of us, you know, a lot of Brahmins sometimes miss on. We miss it out. And that's when, you know, I hear this very beautiful term lately, last 10 years now. Whenever I ask one of the Brahmins, since how long you with Baba or how long you've been in knowledge? And they say, oh, 28 years, you know, 25 years. And I've never seen them in between, you know. And then I said, oh, but I've never met you. Is this the first time we're meeting? He says, yeah, this is the first time in this kalpa. So I said, then how come, you know, in 25 years we've never met in Madhuban, nowhere? So I was on a holiday. You see, I was on a holiday for 15 years. Can you just imagine that beautiful term which Brahmins use? And that holiday is going away from Baba. You know, because of getting tired, struggling, making efforts, you know. But as I told you, we do make efforts, but it's very natural. So we are flowing, we are flying. And then together with that, we see some of the, you know, reward we just see straight away now. And this country where I went through this experience, I mean, when I arrived in where I was being accommodated, I first had to have shower. I said, oh my God, I'm full of beer, you know, and I had to have a shower. But anyway, soon after that, when we were supposed to do the piloting of South Africa, I chose Mozambique, the same country, because I knew how powerful that land was, and it was ready, sort of. They were ready for Baba. And the pilot program became so successful that it has helped all other countries. The other countries were not as easy as this one. But what I'm trying to say is that the energy was there, the energy that Baba was, you know, working through the instruments. So, yeah. These are the practical experiences of effort, reward, and status. So it's a cycle. You can start from anywhere, isn't it? Just check yourself what you feel. I personally feel my status is making me do everything what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying very much. Om Shanti.